The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 19. Look at verse 3 and 4. Luke chapter 19. You need not be concerned about the time. It's not yet 7 o'clock. But I promise you, if you amen, I'll be done by 7:45. Invitation, everything. Invitation, everything. I promise you that. And so, but if you're dead tonight and you don't amen me, it may go to about 9 or 10. And so, please amen me tonight, okay? Luke chapter 19, verse 3 and 4. Stay seated, if you will, and just listen to it. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Of course, this is the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was little in his stature. The Bible says that he ran before the crowd because of the press. So here was a man, he wasn't really sure who Jesus was. So here's a short little guy, if you will, please. And he's trying to get ahead of the crowd just so that he can find out who this one that is called Jesus. We're going to pray one more time, and we're going to talk about the fundamental elements of success. Father, bless, we pray, our gathering tonight. Speak to our hearts. Show us a truth that can help us to be better Christians, more like Christ. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the fundamental elements of success is true for everyone, whether you're a preacher tonight, whether you work in a law firm office tonight, whether you're a mechanic tonight, whether you're an educator tonight, whether you're a mom tonight, whether you're somebody that's an investor tonight, an entrepreneur tonight, whoever you may be, there are certain principles that we'll understand tonight that if taken and practiced in our individual lives, God gives us a degree of success. If you think about Zacchaeus, you think about a little man, yet he was a successful man in the eyes of some. If you think about Zacchaeus tonight, he held a goodly position in the eyes of some. You think about Zacchaeus tonight, he was well known in the eyes of many. As we look at him, we could say that perhaps he was known as a very dishonest man. Matter of fact, the Bible gives us an idea about that. Luke chapter 19 and verse 8, the Bible says, and if I have taken anything from any man by false, listen to what it says, by false accusation, if you would please, or by false accusation. Here's what it says. He says, I restore him fourfold. So he had in his own head that there was some false accusation going on, that he was taking things from other people. And so because of that, he said, I'd be willing to restore fourfold. So he's kind of naming some of the things in a confessional type of way that he was doing. He was known, if you would please, sort of like people that would come down, if you would please, from the north after the Civil War. Those that would come down from the north was called scallywags. They would come down from the north to the south after the Civil War. And what they were is they would be people that would come down to take control over the south. They would set up different places, and they were known by the southern people as scallywags. There was other people that would join them, and they were called carpetbaggers. Carpetbaggers were the southern people that attached themselves to these businessmen that were coming down to be able to start businesses and to be able to start enterprises and to try to bring, if you would please, some orderness. They were called the scallywags that would come down, true statement, history, come down from the north. Those that would join them from the south, they were called carpetbaggers. The carpetbaggers and the scallywags from the north and from the south were hated by the southern people. If you think about Zacchaeus, he would have been hated by those around him. He was one that grew up beside them. He was one that walked beside them. But yet he took on that which was a role for the Roman government. And so because of that, he became somebody that sometimes we could understand where he would make some decisions. And back then, many times those that were tax collectors and those who were in charge of finances would cheat. I know nobody does that today. But back then they would cheat. And what they would do is they would add a little bit of profit for themselves. And so they would charge them. They would add a little bit of profit for themselves. Now, perhaps this is what he was doing. But let me show you some things about him that are good characteristics. Can I do that? Let me just draw some conclusions here as we read the Bible together. Look at Luke chapter 19. By the way, you'll be more interested if you use your Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, the Bible says, and Jesus entered, it says, and passed through Jericho. So here he is, he's coming in, entering and passing through Jericho. The Bible says, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. All right, now wait a minute. Here you see a man that overcame some handicaps. Here was a man that was born not of richness, but he decided that he was going to go forward and become rich. Now, by the way, let's not be somebody that is hasty to become rich. Let's not be somebody that chases the dollar. Let's be somebody that keeps the Lord Jesus Christ first. Let's be somebody that's honest. Let's be somebody that has integrity. Let's be somebody that's always above board. But here you see something about this man. Here you see somebody that certainly people could pass a judgment on. Maybe he pushed his way through. Maybe the people hated him that was around the land. But he did not use some things as an excuse. Some people use excuses. They say, I can't serve God because I have a sore toe. Can't serve God because I have a headache. Can't serve God because I have a sore throat. I've got a broken friendship, so I can't serve God. I have a backbiting friend, so I can't serve God. I have a rebellious child or a nagging wife. I have sickness or a loss of a job. I have criticism or a whimpering husband. I've got a broken limb or an empty bank account. I've got a runny nose or a stuffy nose. I have a wrecked car. I have gossip. I have a broken heart. I have a death in the family. I have a mean mother-in-law. I have a broken promise. I have a terminal illness. And many times what happens is we use these things and we allow them to handicap us. By the way, you ought not allow anything to handicap you in your service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, I don't understand, preacher. Sometimes my mind's not clear, okay? If your mind is 50% not clear, use the other 50% that is clear. But sometimes, preacher, I don't feel 100% physically able to serve God. All right, then you take the other 50% that is able and serve God. But don't use the excuse. We live in a day where if it's not comfortable, if the air is not just right, if the pews are not just so comfortable, then we kind of give in. Oh, it's too cold to serve God, or it's too hot to serve God. I might sweat if it's too hot. I might chill if it's too cold. Hey, why don't we do this? As a child of God, let's decide that we put God first, keep God first, go forward to serve God, and let things be what they may, but be faithful in our service to God. All right, here's what we understand. We understand this. We need to learn to overcome some handicaps. Statement number two, use what you have and know. Everybody in here has some things that you know, and everybody in here has some things that you have. Oh, come on, you remember David? He faced Goliath the giant. As he faced Goliath the giant, Saul said, okay, you have my permission. You can go face him. Here's my armor. Put it on. Tried to put on the armor of Saul. Didn't work. Didn't work. Had to lay it down and go back and use what he was familiar with. Have you ever found this out? Two preachers never preach the same way. Different delivery skills, different styles, different personalities that God has blessed them with. All right? You can't compare preachers no more than you can compare, listen to me now, yourself with someone else. The Bible says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what that means? God did not make a mistake when he made you. Preacher, I wish I was taller. No, you don't. You would not fit in the present shirts that you own. Oh, but preacher, I wish that I was a whole lot skinnier. Okay, then you got to have all your clothes altered. Hello? Well, preacher, I wish I was more intelligent. Hey, you can always grow yourself, yes, physically and mentally, but you cannot grow past what God has made you. Everybody in here have lids on your life. You've got some lids. You've got some limitations on your life. You do. You know, you may never reach beyond that, but you can certainly serve faithfully to that. You can do it. We're supposed to give God our very best. You get up, you give it your very best. And I'm sorry, but I disagree with you. You get up, you give God your very best, and you mess up one note in a song. Stop beating yourself up. Now try harder, get back up, don't get discouraged, don't throw in the towel. A towel's good for two things. You either throw it in or you wipe the sweat because you're working hard. Use it to wipe the sweat. Use it to work hard. Here's what we understand. We understand this. We need to learn to overcome our handicaps. Do we all have handicaps? Yes. Do we all have shortcomings? Yes. Yes. Are you perfect? No. But preacher, my wife says that I'm perfect. She's lying. She's trying to make you feel good because maybe you have a self-complex. But there's nobody in here perfect. Wait a minute. So learn to overcome some handicaps, number one. Number two, use what you have and know. Here's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 19, verse 3. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. The Bible says, and could not for the press because he was little in stature. Or that was the limitation. There was his lid. He could have said, okay, I want to see him. I'm too little. Never happened. Never happened. Might as well give up now. I'll never see him. I don't have the ability to see him. Well, that's not what he did. The Bible says in verse 4 that he ran before, climbed up, it says, into a sycamore tree to see him. There's the intent. He said, look, I'm short in stature. Can't see him. I just can't. See him. I'm trying, but I just can't see him. Oh, wait a minute. But he said, that's not going to stop me. Hey, there's something over there that's taller than I am. That's going to be my advantage. He ran over. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Now he could see him better than anybody else. Now he could be able to look down, see who he was, and the Bible says that he was there when he passed by. Now, can I say this? That here's what you've got to do in your life. If you have a disadvantage, look for ways to get the advantage. God will show you the way. God will help you to be able to overcome some shortcomings. You might not be able to go past your lid, but you can get somebody else to help you. My wife showed me a picture this past week, and I was shocked. She showed me a picture. They didn't have a ladder, but they wanted to put the ornament, the topping ornament, on the top of the tree. So they held hands, and they formed a human ladder. What'd they do? They used what they had. Oh, David picked up that sling. He used what he had. You can't be what somebody else is, but you can become all that God has for you to become. You can step up to the plate. You might not be able to hit a home run every single time, but at least you can get on first base. You might not be able to take the basketball and to sink it and to dunk it, but at least you can shoot it.
You might not be able to go out and be able to see a great host of people being saved every week, but you can talk to one. You can lead one to Christ. You can give out some gospel tracts. You can do your part. You can be faithful. Everybody in here can be dedicated enough to be faithful to God.
I'm saying learn to overcome your handicaps. Statement number two, use what you have and know. Statement number three, always be on time. Woo! Dr. Robertson used to say, if you're 10 minutes early, you're late. You're late. We were in Sunday school this morning, and I thought, hallway's kind of bare. Sunday school kind of bare. I thought, oh my. Oh my. Had Brother Palmore teaching my Sunday school class, so that was my excuse. I said, the reason they're not showing up, they found out you were teaching. But then to have over 800, I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, why is that? Why is that? Well, I can tell you it's not because Mike Wells is the pastor. I can tell you that. I can tell you it is because we have a mighty God. I can tell you it's because of you sitting in the pew and you loving people and you helping people and you pouring your life into people. That has a lot to do with it. And you just being you and being in your place on time makes the difference. Here's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. The Bible says, when he came to the place, the Bible says, he looked up and saw him. Jesus would have never looked up and saw him if he wasn't on time and in the right place. The Bible says, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, he said, make haste and come down. He says, for today I must abide at thy house. Never would have happened. If he was not in the right place at the right time. You know, I'm fearful about our young people. I'm fearful about our young people with their attention span. Fearful. Fearful. We live in a video crazed society where everything has to be powerful and electrifying. And so if pastor is not up here jumping around, walking back and forth, rocking the pulpit, hitting the pulpit, from time to time shouting, if their attention span sometimes Dwayne's. Come on. Sometimes I'll come down off of the platform and I'll go visit different sections. So why you do that, preacher? It's not because I'm antsy and it's not because I just have a hankering to walk. It's not because I'm looking for extra exercise. I'm doing it because there might be somebody not paying attention and I'm trying to get their focal point back for just a few minutes. Why? Because we're talking about the God that gave us earth. Talking about the God of the universe. Talking about your God. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying always be on time. Here's what the Bible says. Luke chapter 19 and verse 6. The Bible says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. So here's Zacchaeus, this little short guy. You mean God can use a little short guy? Yeah. You mean God could use a small, a tall, skinny guy? Yeah. You mean God could use somebody that is extra round? Yes. You mean God could use somebody that's got hair and somebody has no hair? Yes. There is no limitations with God except for many times the limitations that we put on God ourselves. It was the Israelites that bound the hands of God. It was the Israelites that tied his hands and restricted him from being that which he wanted to be in their lives and give them a blessing. The Israelites. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be somebody that God says, well, Mike, are you ever going to pray? Or all of a sudden when I do pray, it's a shock. God says, I hadn't heard from you in months.
years, generations, decades.
We'll stop there. Can I ask you, come on, did you talk to him this morning? Did you let him talk to you? For some reason, here's what we do. We have these burdens. We say, oh, I got a burden. I don't know what to do about it. You've got a God that's an expert in handling burdens.
Oh, I'm just trying to carry it all by myself. That is not the will of God. You are not made to figure out your own problems. You're made to rely on a holy God that can help you and answer prayer and come through with you. You're not supposed to be your own self-made God.
Here's what we understand. We understand that he was there on time. He could have been brilliant, not on time, and missed the blessing. He could have had a university graduate education, not on time, missed the blessing. He could have physically been masculine, not on time, missed the blessing. He could have been strong beyond compare, not on time, missed the blessing. He could have been handsome beyond reason, not on time, missed the blessing. He could have been knowledgeable in many languages, not on time, missed the blessing. There's something about just being there. Just being there. Hey, isn't it something in your Bible? How many believe the Bible? Raise your hand. You believe the Bible. That's good to know since you're in church. In the Bible says in the last days, there shall be a falling away. Falling away. Isn't it sad that some people say they're Christians, but they don't love God enough to come to church? Being faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know what's happening? There's a falling away. I don't want to be dead. I don't want to float downstream with all the other dead things. Boy, as long as the grace of God is alive, I want to be able to shout it from the housetop. I want to be able to be excited about my Lord. Why? Because I believe it's important. It's important that we take the word of God and help somebody along the way. It's important that your neighbors know God is alive. Now, we have to understand, though, here in the Bible, you see that here's this little bitty man, short guy. He goes out, but yet he said, I am going to do what I'm supposed to do. And if he never would have climbed that sycamore tree, Jesus would have never looked up. Jesus would have never went to his house. Wait a minute. Statement number four, and I'm almost done. Be willing to help others with what you know and have. I said, statement number one, learn to overcome handicaps. By the way, we all have them. We all have them. I can think of five handicaps I have in my life right now. Now, I'm not going to name them, but I can think of five that hit me just like that. Huh? Yeah, four of them right here on called staff. I've got one. I got four up here. But now, wait a minute. No, for real, I can think of five. I can think of five. Now, I want to do some things in my life to compensate for the five. By the way, you don't have to be just the star player on a basketball team to help the team to win. It's teammanship, working together. Come on. You know what I love about our church? I hope you always keep the spirit. Please keep the spirit. This church is not built on a man. This church is a family coming together to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go forward together. As we go soul winning, we go soul winning together. As we plan for big days, we plan for big days together. As we get excited about serving God and rearing our children and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, hey, we encourage each other. Wait, here's what we see. The Bible says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, listen to it, that he was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner.
You mean preacher? If I do serve God and I run ahead of the crowd and I climb up in the sycamore tree because I've got limitations in my life and I get excited about God, you mean somebody's going to criticize me?
Curtis Hudson used to say, when they're kicking you in the rear, it's a good sign that you're still in the front. Isn't it funny? When I started traveling to Southeast Asia, the Philippines, Thailand, Cambodia, West Africa, I started traveling to those regions and I went by myself first couple of years. Boy, we'd just have a few saved. Nobody criticized me. But then when we go and we start have the big, you can call them a crusade, you can call them big gatherings, you can call them big meetings, you can call them whatever you want to. But the first time we ever had over 3,000 that walked the aisle in one given service and received Christ, boy, I was so excited! I came back and I said, see what God has done! And the critics came out of the woodwork. Hello. One guy said, do you think they really mean it? I said, about the same as I think you did. I have to believe them as much as I believe you. I said, by the way, they were in church on Sunday night. Where were you? Now, look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that, look, the more you do for God, hey, give it everything you've got. I mean, every ounce of energy, give it everything that you've got. Only one life that we have, that's it. And only what we do for Christ is going to last, that's it. Man, I'm 52, that means I got one foot in the grave, the other on a banana peel and slipping quick. I'm not going to waste it. I don't want to get behind a pulpit and preach without God's power. Hey, our young people need to see there's fire behind the pulpit. Our young people need to see you can live for God. You can go out and serve God. We don't need to be a dead church. We need to be a live church. We need to decide that we're going to go forward and do something for God. Don't you sit there and do nothing. Rise up and do something for God.
I'm saying tonight, that be willing to help others with what you have and what you know. The Bible says in verse 8, look at it, Luke chapter 19. The Bible says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, he said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything, it says, from any man by false accusation, by being accused, if you would, he said, I restore him fourfold. All right, that means that probably God was doing something in his life, would you dare say? Here's how people apologize nowadays. Can I tell you? Weasel their way out. Well, if I have offended you, I'm sorry. No, you're not. No, you're not. Husband and wife have a quarrel. Well, if I hurt your feelings, honey, well, you already know you hurt her feelings. She's standing there bawling her eyes out. She's saying, woe on me, I'm a sinner. I know it's so because you told me 5 minutes ago. Apologize. Apologize. I think that's the way we treat sin, Brother Bulkley. I said this in her college chapel, it bothers me. My Bible says, I believe yours reads the same, says if, that's a conditional clause, if. I mean, it's up to you. If. He said, if we confess our sins, we're faithful and just to forgive. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Forgive us of what? Those sins. And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sins, plural, not singular. Here's what the average Christian does. You know what he does? Let me tell you what he does. You know what he does. How old are you? You know it. Here's what they do. They go out and they sin and they sin and they sin and they sin. Then here's what they do. They get on their bed at night. They say to their God, please forgive me of all my sins. That's it. Well, why don't we confess them and forsake them
the same way we committed them. Hey, you think you're going to get away with that and all of a sudden get your prayers answered? You get some of these videos and you get some of these games. You got all this polluted music playing in the background. Lewd people walking across the. Hey, what's that thing, honey? We talked about the other night. What's that thing called? You look it up. Kids in mind. Before you let your kid look at a video, get on the internet, look up kids in mind, and it'll tell you everything that's in that video. It'll tell you if there's lewdness in there. It'll tell you about those films. It'll tell you about if there's wickedness in there. Hello? Kids get together and they talk about wicked movies. Well, let me tell you what I looked up. Let me tell you what I watched. Heard some kids talking about the other day. And it was brought up. And Mrs. Wells, I told her about it. She said, well, let me look and see what it's about. She looked it up. Nudity. Cursing. Killing. And then you sit there. And you got that religious garb on. And you're playing Christianity. Hey, don't you think it's about time we get real? You can't have dirt and trash in your life and have the power of God upon your life. It just doesn't work. I got on our kids in a Christian college. We do have one, you know. But I got on them. Bothers me. We got a rule in the college. Rule. By the way, we have many rules in the college. But we got some rules in the college to just help our kids to have a little bit of integrity. Now, it's not a Bible doctrine. It's just a rule. Your mama has rules. Your daddy has rules. We have a simple rule in the college. The boys have their top button and their tie pulled up. You said there's no Bible doctrine about that. It doesn't have to be a Bible doctrine. At McDonald's, they tell you how to dress. At Burger King, they tell you how to dress. And we tell you that's something you ought to do. And you ought to say, thank the Lord. But our boys are having trouble with that. Can you imagine? It's like these boys that walk along the street and they got their britches down. They're showing their underwear. Now, it's not the same. I know that. Thank the Lord for that. But they got this, you know. And I think, you know, son, if you don't have enough character to pull your britches up, you'll never get hired. Now, it's not. Are you listening to me? I tell people, look, in church. Now, by the way, I'm telling you, these are not Bible convictions. These are preferences. I'm distinguishing between the two. But in my opinion, that means a preference. That means a preference. My opinion, I don't think people all chew gum in church. I think they look like a bunch of cows looking for a new place to graze. That's my opinion. But it sets a casualness to it. Come on. I think people ought to sit up and pay attention to preacher in church. Not just my opinion. But I got one. I think if you're setting up and you're paying attention, and you're like, whew, preacher's preaching, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, sick on preacher. Means you're probably with me. Sitting back, slouching down. Falling asleep. Getting the meal out from underneath your nails. Can't find none there, so you take it and you put it up your nose. Hello? Now, it's just my opinion. But I think, just to be honest with you, Casualness is where we get that word casualty. Look, I'm sorry. I like church. I think people ought to dress up for church. I do. I think that what you dress up for shows the importance of it to you in your life. So I'm for people dressing up for church. Look, you're never going to have a casual preacher. Do you know that? It ain't going to happen. Well, you're not going to have a casual preacher in this preacher. There's not going to be a day when I come out. Now, don't get mad at me because I'm not done preaching yet. Give me time for you to get mad. But there's not going to be a day when I come out. Now, I know this is on the internet. Now, if you're mad at me on the internet, you're hearing this, don't turn me off yet. I'm not done. But there's not going to be a day when I come out, for the sake of our kids, if for nothing else, where I become casual. Can you imagine me coming out? Brother Purvis, I'm glad you're here tonight. I love you. I don't get to see him much, and I like to spend time with him. Can you imagine me? All of a sudden, Brother Purvis goes off when he's working out of town a lot. He's off working. He's used to seeing me like this, handsome as I am. Then all of a sudden, I come out. Can you imagine this? Brother Taylor, can you imagine this? Here I come walking out. The staff comes out first, except for him. He's always late. Well, he's got an honest excuse. He works with our Spanish department. But so these three guys, they precede me out. And then here I come out. Woo! And I got shorts on. I got sandals on. You don't see me yet because I'm right here. But buddy, when I get right here, somebody's going to look and they're going to say, ooh. And when I get right here, it's going to be more than a ooh. Hello. Oh, and I got me a muscle shirt on to show what I don't have. And I try and suck it in all the way to the pulpit. I got my shorts on. I got my muscle shirt on. I've got it sucked in. I look pretty good. From a distance, about 4 miles away. I get up and I start to preach. Right about then, I lose my composure and my chest drops into my drawers. By the way, I probably wouldn't make it that far. I think some of you men would probably get up and walk out. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm going somewhere. Pray tell me what the difference of that is than a girl getting up here in a short skirt. She walks across the platform. Looks like two bulldogs fighting in the backyard. I mean, she got in them, but Lord knows how she's going to get out. And you think that's going to draw attention to God? Hello? You girls, you growing older. Thank the Lord. One day Dad and Mama have to feed less. But here, you get these shirts and you get them real tight. And man, you cannot hold yourself together. You got this going on down here. You got this going on up here. We're on video. Don't you dare put that on a website. Ooh. You are fired. I'm done.
But I'm saying this tonight. Whatever happened to decency? Now, girls, I love you in the name of the Lord, but why are you dressing in such a way that you're drawing eyeballs? Now, don't get mad at me. I told you I'll let you know when to get mad. You let your daddy be able to help you with your dress. I'm going to tell you why. Because he sees it the way another man sees it. Your mama only sees it as fashion. Your daddy sees it and says, oh, uh-uh. Then you get mad. Well, mama thinks it's okay. Well, of course, she's a woman. She sees it according to fashion. Daddy's trying to protect you from those boys. Hello? Daddy says there's a little too much wiggle in that skirt. Change it. It's a little bit too tight. He's not being mean to you. He's trying to help you stay pure. Innocent. That's what he's trying to do. Hello? By the way, boys, you listen to that mama. She can tell if a girl's eyeballing you. Uh-huh. And she can tell if that girl is not good for you. All right, looky here. You better start amening me. I'm going to go for 2 more hours. That's how come I say, you've got rocks in your head, son. Rocks in your head. If you start dating a girl without your mom and daddy's permission, you have got rocks in your head. Well, I like him. He might not be worth liking. Well, I like her. She might not be worth spitting on. God gave you a daddy and God gave you a mama to protect your stinking hide. Now you rely on them. Rely on them. Can I tell you what happens? Stand up, Brother Nash. Put your Bible down there. That's a Bible. Act like a teenager. Dr. Bogley said that wasn't a teenager. That was a college student. Now watch this. Watch this. Okay? So go back. Act like a child. Come to me slow. And here's what we do. Come on, son. You make it, son. Come on, son. You make it, son. Follow me, son. It's okay, son. Stop. All right, that's what happens. Wait a minute, watch this. Here comes a teenager who has their own mind made up because they know better than mom and daddy. You ready? Here we go. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. Hey, over here. Hey, follow me. This is the way we're supposed to go. Hey, son, you're not supposed to be making up your own mind. Come on, son. What are you thinking? Hey, look, I'm telling you. Hey, don't pay attention to that over there. Don't do that. You need to be following this way. Hey, I'm going to help you become a spiritual young... That's the way the average teenager is. It's true. It's true. They make up their own mind. They do what they want to do when they want to do it. They only come to mom and daddy when they need money or when they're in trouble. God has given you your parents for a purpose. It is to protect you, to help you, to guide you, to give you wisdom. Listen, I go to your daddy. Give your daddy your heart. Give your mama your heart. And you don't take that heart away until they give you permission to give it to somebody else. You work through that authority. Why? That's the way God said to do it. When I first became pastor here, thank you, be seated. I had something that irritated the fire in me. We had parents that were having 6, 7, and 8-year-old kids walking down the hallway and was matching them up. One said, "Don't you like Johnny? One day Johnny can be your boyfriend." No, Brother Harrison, no, I'm not.
It wasn't Brother Harrison. It wasn't Mrs. Harrison. But they're matching these kids up. And I said, look, don't do that. You're putting something in their cranium, their brain. You are developing something. And then we got boys and girls chasing each other around, sneaking. Well, give me the note and I'll pass it to so-and-so. Stop it. Stop it. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to honor their parents. And we got boys and girls. You won't believe this. I'm started. But you won't believe this. We have boys and girls meeting at places at night, apart from their parents' permission. And they're telling their parents they're going someplace and they're going someplace else, lying through their teeth. That is ungodly. That is not right. You're going to wind up destroying your life and somebody else's life. Hello? We got this media stuff. Media stuff. You're texting people. I've said it often. A boy has no right to text a girl. Now, if you're visiting tonight, I'm not always this mean. But you are setting yourself up for a kill. Oh, you say, but we're only friends, preacher. We're talking about what colors we like, what ice cream we like. We're only friends. There's no harm. And then you add to it. Then you add to it. Then she lays awake at night dreaming about you. Riding on the horse. Who said yes, sir? Who's that? Was that you? Do you do this? Just kidding. Brother Bradley, help your son. She lays awake dreaming at night. Here he comes. He's riding on the white horse. He's in shining armor, galloping into my life. Oh, look at him and his masculinity. Look, he couldn't stay on a horse if it was his own. And the armor's got rust. When he falls off, he ain't getting back up. Hello? Okay, I'm done. Zacchaeus, little in stature. He said, oh, I got to see him. I got to see him. He didn't say, I got to see her. I got to see him. Boy, if I could only see him. Boy, I got limitations in my life, and I might not be able to get as close to him as others. But I've got to see him. I've got to get close to him. I feel it in my bones. I'm thirsting after it. Oh, I want to be so close to him. But I can't. Oh, the crowd is so much, I can't get to him. Oh, look at there. There's a sycamore tree. Well, if I can just get to that sycamore tree, gave it all of his energy, gave it everything he had, ran with those little stubby legs, fast as he could, ran before the crowd, climbed up reaching high to reach the limbs that was, might have had to get on his tiptoes on a limb and jump up in faith to grab the limb above, and he pulled himself up, got over top of that pathway that Jesus is coming, and all of a sudden Jesus looked up, said, hey you, Zacchaeus, don't tell me he don't know your name. He said, come on down here, I'm going to your house today. Comes immediately skirting down that tree. Everybody begins to criticize. And can you believe it? We know Zacchaeus, that scallywag. We know Zacchaeus.
one that cheats, steals, not fair, dishonest, yet he's going to go be with the Lord. Ha!
But he did. And God can use you if you will. Father, help us tonight, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.